Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Push him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Adam Catterall and Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that.
On TalkSport.
Welcome to the Fight Night podcast. I'm Adam Catterall. It is a pleasure once again to be in your company. If this is the first time, though, that you've ever come across us, please subscribe. And if you would be so kind as to write us a five-star review on iTunes, it just helps with the visibility in the iTunes charts. So hit the subscribe button. You're looking for Fight Night, and you'll never miss out on any of our boxing content. If you don't have Apple and you need an Android feed, you can get everything that you need on the TalkSport website, TalkSport.com, Spotify, the lot. We're all on there. Any format, we can cater for your need, and you'll never miss out on any of the biggest names that we speak to on a week-by-week basis on a Saturday night. This week, we were building up towards Crawford Brook. You know the result of that fight now. But obviously, when we were building up to it, we didn't know. So we were getting the hype up. We were speaking to the athletes and getting you in the mood for an absolute monster from Las Vegas. And we start with our very own Kell Brook, the former IBF welterweight champion of the world, spoke to us a little earlier on in the week.
Expect fireworks, expect masterclass ring craft. You're going to see everything you need to see in a fight like this.
Oh, that was it! That's the end of this super welterweight fighting car recover. And Kell Brook does make a triumphant return.
He just said he wanted to fight me. You know, he saying he would like to fight me. And my thing was like, you don't even deserve a shot.
Naturally, bigger guy, come from lightweight up to welterweight. I've campaigned at middleweight, light middleweight.
Lovely uppercut on the inside there for Brook. Radchenko took that well right hand. And Radchenko goes down. He was caught around the temple, I think.
I love a challenge, and I'm grabbing this challenge with both hands. He was more interested about me making the weight. You know, he was saying, yeah, but can you make the weight, make the weight? You know, and he wasn't saying about how he can beat me. It was more about the weight, but as I've got older, Gareth, this is probably going to be the easiest I've made welterweight, as strangely it sounds, because I've just been... You keep learning this game, and I think, you know, the punishment I have to put my body through, you know, I've not let myself blown up. I think that I've just been investing more time in myself, you know, and training very hard and well, and listening to my nutritionist and just following the guidelines and continuing to taking one day at a time, and the weight's just been coming off, and I've been at a nice weight for a long time now, so I'm not even, most of the time in every other fight, I'm always, the biggest fight for me is making the weight, but for this one, it's about Terence Crawford, the weight's already made.
That everyone around you has always said, if you've got the right fight, you can make welterweight again, mentally you'll be right. this is a big challenge, isn't it?
This is a massive challenge, you know, and for me to go out and win, I've got to box the best I've ever boxed in my career. But I love a challenge, and I'm grabbing this challenge with both hands, you know. I went out there and I made this world title fight with the pound for, arguably the pound for pound best fighter in the world. So, you know, that's like I've always said to you, Gareth, I've always wanted to be in there with the best ever in the world. You know, but when I do hang the gloves up, at least I can look back and say, you know, I never ducked anybody. I fought the best there was out there to challenge. We had the politics involved and I got there. And I'm like I say, I'm going to put everything into it. I'm also an elite fighter. He's never boxed anybody. The size and the self-belief and the power I've got, you know. So he knows this as well.
You'll obviously have studied him quite a lot. I don't know if there's more studying to do. What do you see in Terence Crawford and what you've seen from him so far? No one's unlocked him yet.
Nobody's unlocked him, but it's like I said, it's hard to bring down any faults what he's got. You know, he's a switch hitter. He's got a very good balance. He can punch. He's a very good finisher. There's not much I can sit here and say that he does bad, but he does get it. And I'm also similar to him, as in I've got very good. The timing's perfect. I've got a good, very good jab. I can take a shot. I've got self-belief, and I can punch really hard. And I'm a natural. I'm a big natural heavy hitting welterweight. So, you know, it's a real fight, and he knows that.
I was with Conor Benn on Saturday night, in Talk Sports Studios. You used him as a sparring partner for this. He said what he really noticed was how well you control the range, and I was happy to hear that because we've always known it's one of your great skills there in the mid-range. You control that space so well, and that's going to be really important against Crawford, isn't it?
Like I said, Gareth, I'm going to need to use everything in my arsenal to get this victory. I need to be on point. My eyes are going to be locked onto Terence from round one, you know, and I'm going to go out there and execute the game plan we've got. And it's 36 minutes of my life I'm going to put down fully, 1,000% of my heart's going to be, everything's going to be left in that ring that night. You know, win, lose or draw, I'm going to give it my absolute all, Gareth. And I believe that I am a hard, very hard man to beat when I've got this in my heart and the focus I've got. There's been a lot of shocks in boxing. You know boxing, you know the big shocks. We were there with Tyson Fury, Wilder, you know, and Tia Thiepo Lopez getting the winning against Lomachenko a couple of weekends ago. And just, you know that in boxing, the hype and everything else, and, you know, one punch and, you know, and you're champion of the world again, and the best thing since sliced bread. And you know that this is one of them fights where, you know, people won't be shocked, you know, when I come out with a win.
Is there a plan for you after that? Do you walk away with the belts over your shoulder out of the saloon bar and sling your hook? Or is there more in you?
There's more in me. I mean, honestly, I know it might be 34, but, you know, age is just a number. You know, age is just a number, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really, you know, just being out here in Vegas in the sunshine and thinking, you know, what would we be doing back at home? It's raining, it's cold, everybody's on full lockdown. We're out here on the strip with a sport what's brought me to, since I was 9 years old, has brought me and my family out here doing something like an athlete should be doing and representing my country. Being out here with something I love, and, you know, I won't, even if I were getting paid a couple of quid for this fight, you know, it's about being out here and being in the moment, and this is what it's about. This is what I live for. This is what I was born to do. This is what really excites me, the adrenaline, knowing that, you know, I can go out there and be victorious and do, make history in this sport and my family and everybody. This is what fighters dream about, what I'm doing. So I'm just going to come out here and do my thing. I've done the hard work, Gareth, and I really, truly believe that I'm a massive, massive... It's going to be a massive upset, I believe.
It's funny for me to say this, but you're not someone that's always wanted loads of media attention. You get your work done. You win your belts. You win your fights. You go off with your family. You're on holiday, and then you come back for the next fight. You're not someone who's out there in the media all the time. But I see something in you right now, like a spark that maybe I haven't seen for a while. I mean, I know I saw you in the gym in London, in Darren Barker's gym, and you said, listen, there is definitely something back in me. I felt it was, might have been just before lockdown, actually. Yeah. And there is something in you that's changed by the look of it, you know?
Yes, yeah, but it's hard to tell all, it's hard to tell people, you even, you might have got your thoughts, but sat here now, and knowing what I've done in the game and what I have and what I haven't done, I've got that spark, like you're saying, and I know that when that bell rings, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna stun the world. I believe that I'm gonna be the best I could be on that night on the 14th, the best I could possibly be, I've got a YY gene. I'm not normal. And I believe that it's something, I'm special. I'm very special. And I'm going to go in there and I'm not going to be shocked when I take him out. I'm not going to be. As much as, you know, it is a big thing beating him, I believe that it's written for me to go out and shock the world again.
So there you go. That was the challenger. Let's hear from the champion. I caught up with Terence Crawford on the same matter.
I look at it like it's a long time overdue. I've always felt like I was number one before they actually crowned me. Now I'm just being recognized by more than just a few people. So it kind of feels good in a sense, but at the same time, it's nothing new to me because I always felt like I was number one in the beginning anyway.
Talk to me about Kel, because that fight seemed to be made at Wilder Fury. We saw you two having a little bit of a chat at the press conference there. What was said, what went back and forth, and what's been happening since in order to make this fight?
Well, he just said he wanted to fight me. You know, he had an interest in saying he would like to fight me and give him a shot. And my thing was like, you don't even deserve a shot, but if you was to get a shot, is you going to make weight, you know? And he stated that he was going to make weight. So all the other top welterweights division was actually booked, and I was currently in talk with a potential fight with Manny Pacquiao. So once that fight didn't fall through, then we had to go to the next option, and that was Kell Brook.
The big fight for the fans in the welterweight division is obviously yourself and Errol Spence. Kell's already been in with Errol, and Errol obviously took care of him, finishing him in the 11th round. Is that in the back of your mind about making a statement, just rubber stamping to show who the main man is at 147, or is it just taking care of business as normal on the night?
Not at all. I never go in a fight looking to outdo a previous opponent that both of us have faced it. I just go in there looking to make sure I get the win. I don't want to go in there and get caught up with trying to impress people with trying to outdo them.
We spoke to, obviously, your promoter, Bob Arum, a couple of weeks ago, and he was full of praise for you. He refers to you as the best welterweight on the planet. There's no question about that. But I put a question to him about maybe his own concerns about not being able to make that fight because PBC might not necessarily want to do the business. And he felt that he doesn't want to hold you back in order to make that fight because he knows it's one for your legacy. Have you ever had thoughts of maybe thinking, I might have to be a PBC fighter in order to make the big fight?
At times it crossed my mind. But then again, I think to myself, like, I never thought that I had to actually sign with a different promotional company or network to actually get a type of fight. I felt like, you know, if Wilder and Tyson Fury can get the fight done, then so could me and Errol Spence. I just felt like if the money was there, then a fight will get made. I don't think the money is quite there yet, because if it was, then everybody would be happy and satisfied. And I don't think everybody is happy and satisfied at this point.
Well, fingers crossed from a fan's point of view, man, we can get there. Have you, obviously you cleaned out at 140. You mopped that division out and moved up to obviously fulfill ambitions at 147. Have you, as you look back down now at what's currently going on at 140, have you ever thought to yourself, I might go back down and clean it out again? Have you ever thought of maybe having a look at going back down to junior welter?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. My thing was always, once I move up, I didn't want to come back down. That's like when I moved up from 135,
yeah,
and I went to 140, me going back down to 135. That wouldn't be the case.
We've seen you recently as well, obviously putting your family through their paces on the wrestling mat. When I say the wrestling mat, your living room, obviously giving them a showing of your prowess in the world of wrestling. I know that some of your sons wrestle as well, man. Are you giving us a hint that you fancy a little go at MMA at some point? What are you doing?
Nah, man. I just, you know, my kids, you know, they love to wrestle and, you know, they're very good at it. They just natural born athletes, but MMA and boxing, that's something that I wouldn't want for my kids. But if they choose to take that route, then I just have to support them 100%.
And what about yourself? If you were offered an opportunity to take an MMA bout, would you take it?
It depends. You know, first thing first, the money got to be right.
Yeah, man.
You know, MMA, you know.
It depends on the dance partner, I suppose.
Yeah.
If they can, I don't know. You're knocking about, what, 147? Conor McGregor used to fight at 145. I'm sure you'd fancy that one, wouldn't you? There'd be some money in that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sure, you just got to get those type of fighters in the ring. And I always say, you know, the fans can get all the fights that they want if everybody can get together and make things happy for each other.
There you go, Terence Crawford catching up with me on the Fight Night Show before his fight with Kell Brook. Now, we'll get back to that fight in a moment or two when we hear from Bob Arum. We're also going to speak to Bob about various other things like Wilder, Fury, and the possibility of a third fight or the destination of other fights that he would like to make. One of his fighters is Teofimo Lopez, the undisputed lightweight champion of the world. I caught up with him a little earlier on in the week to talk about his victory against Vasyl Lomachenko and what his plans are for the future.
I've been back in the gym now, even though I have the boot on. You know, I'm going to LA later this weekend. Like, I'll be there later this weekend to get my stitches removed and then see what the process is like afterwards. And if I have to continue using the boot or not. And then weight wise, we're talking about staying at 135, maybe for one, two more fights.
Okay.
I don't know. We still have to see what are the best options, but I know that I give it maybe six more months of being at this weight and that's it.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
So what gets your juices going? Because with all due respect to everybody else making noise of what fight should or should not happen at lightweight, you have mopped up. I don't care what anybody says. It's done. It's complete. What do you want to do? What gets you out of bed and gets you motivated?
To rub it in their face more. Because we can. And just to show out there that I am the best, and I will continue to always prove that every time and every fight. And, you know, I like to make big fights happen. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to get out of me. We don't duck or dodge anybody, and we're not trying to. I think what motivates me to stay at this weight more so than anything, it's the cash.
Yeah.
It's good money.
Some good money there, right? Obviously, the names like Tank and Devin are going to be mentioned alongside yourself. I think the money's with Ryan Garcia, man. I really do. I don't know why. I just think there's some serious money in that fight, if that's what you wanted to do.
Those are the potential fights. Garcia, Cambosas, because Cambosas is my
IBF mandatory. Yeah,
he's my mandatory. So eventually I will have to face him. unless we push it for something else with the IBF.
But as you said, Australia is an option, man.
Yeah.
You said Australia is an option.
And Australia is willing to work with us on many things. So I think that it'll work perfectly. So there's many options there. And we're just trying to see, man. I think that Garcia still has to fight somebody, you know, worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the thing with Luke Campbell, but now, you know, and I wish him nothing but, you know, may he stay healthy, you know, and may it not hit him and affect him badly. And that's what I pray for Luke Campbell on, and that he gets to continue to do what he has to do. Hopefully they could move it to another date. Mm-hmm. I think they were talking about December 19th. You know, I stay on track on these guys. I mean, I watch it, but I stay on track, you know, and just staying in shape is my main thing. But yeah, all these fights are going to happen. It's just a matter of, I can't fight everybody at once.
Of course. And so like you just said, like you just said, 6 months at lightweight. Kambosos says that IBF mandatory in Australia with these situations right now could be a really good option. Really good. There's rumors at the start of next year that they will be making that undisputed fight at 140 between Ramirez and Taylor.
Yes.
I've no doubt you'll have an eye on that, won't you?
If they fight earlier this year, I mean next year, if they fight early next year, I'll wait a couple more months just to make that fight happen with them, and fight for the undisputed at 140.
Back to back.
Back to back.
Nobody's ever done that. Back to back, different weight categories.
Mm-hmm. And then I wonder what they say with this one after at 140. What belt is what? You know, then they'll tell me that I gotta fight the WBC light super interim bridge weight belt. You know, and I'm be like, what is this? Thank you, Mauricio, for putting more names on here. Thank you very much. I think, that's my number one priority, man. If these guys can make that fight happen, if Top Rank and ESPN, mm-hmm. they come together and make that fight happen earlier next year, best believe that'll be the next fight.
It's easy because you are Top Rank. They're Top Rank.
Yep.
ESPN, yep. They're all on the same network. You would think that would be a natural progression for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would love to, because I don't know what Ramirez or Taylor have in mind, if they will stay at 140 a little bit longer. Or anything, or move to 147. I know Taylor is talking about, you know, he'll hang in there with Crawford. So it looks like he's planning to move to 147 eventually. So I gotta grab these guys, you know, quick.
Do you know what I'm liking about this conversation? Right, we've had many conversations in the past, and it's always been you just laser focused on working towards the Lomachenko thing. Now that you are king of the hill, I am loving the fight that the names that you're mentioning and the paths that they're taking, you are all over this. You're like, okay, I see where you're going. Yep, okay, right, this is where we're going then. Yeah. This is the path, man. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You are literally trying to write the future right in front of me right now. Nostradamus lives. He's here.
I know. My father just needs to speak it out right now. You know, more. He's... Oh man, but yeah, that's the way I have to think like that. Everybody's hungry, and everybody wants all the belts. They want what I have, and I gotta stay on top. I am the king, and in order to, I have to defend my throne.
This weekend, Terence Crawford, Kell Brook. I know that you know both of these guys. I want your thoughts on it. I want your thoughts on this fight.
It's tough, man. I know them very well, and Kell Brook, he's been a huge supporter of mine throughout the whole process of me facing Lomachenko. And he has said it numerous of times that I will beat him. And now that he's seen that happen, I think that he even said it in one of his interviews that I motivated him to do something of that as well with Crawford. And I think that is, and I think that it could happen. It really can. I truly believe that it can happen. A lot of people are overlooking Kell Brook when in reality, he is a big 147 pounder. And, Crawford is very skilled. He's number one, or, you know, at least in the top two of the pound for pound list. You know, number one, number two, it's a quick, easy debate on that. It's Canelo and Crawford. You know, those guys are at the top of the food chain. And, you know, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was an upset. You know, it's been Kell Brooks has been at 147 for years now. And this is only, what, 2 years or a year for Crawford?
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that if Kell Brook goes in, he goes in with the mentality of, I'm going to go win no matter what. I don't care if I'm just going to find a way to win. You know, and I don't care who this guy is in front of me, I'm going
to
beat him.
That should be a cracker, man. You just mentioned the pound for pound list there. What's it feel like to be on that Ring magazine list right now, eh?
Man, it's amazing. I believe top five is where I belong, you know. But you know what? One thing I don't like is the fact they got me and then Loma next to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, nah, kick him out. You know, but in reality, though, it's crazy just to see it, you know, and see your name on it, and to see that out of the top 10 guys around the world that are, and there's many, many fighters, hundreds of fighters in the world, and you're in the top five of them. I think that it goes to show me that we're doing something big, and I'm very happy about it. I'm very appreciative for those that have acknowledged me for all the hard work and all the stuff that we have done. However, now let's get back to it. The job is not done. And however, for anyone that is trying to be in the pound for pound list alongside with me, you have to beat somebody that is not a cab driver, that is not a tomato can, and that actually has a pulse. And that is regards to Tank Davis, to Devin Haney, to Ryan Garcia, to all the other fighters out there, besides in my weight division. Because I know they're trying to squeeze some of these guys into the pound for pound list now that I'm on. But no, not yet. They have a long way.
On that, listen, I give Leo Santa Cruz as an opponent a lot of credit, but it was at Super Feather. Let's be honest, it wasn't a lightweight contest. What did you make of it? Because I thought the Tank actually looked quite good. But again, it's hard to judge because it was at 130.
I believe that he can make 130. And if he chooses to make 135, by all means, he can. You know, he has the options now. And he has the whatever they did with him in Vegas, it worked. And I think he should probably stick to that. Mm-hmm. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think that, Santa Cruz is a very skillful fighter. He has that Mexican-like style, and he comes forward. He comes to you. You know, he throws a lot of punches, and he's not just a four-time world champion for no reason. I think that, however, going at 130, I don't think that was Leo Santa Cruz's weight. Yeah. I think his weight class is 122, 126, somewhere in that sorts. So for those that don't do their research, they won't look at it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, still, I think that I give my hats off to Leo for – holding on for that long and doing what he did. He just did not have any type of pop to stop Tank from just coming in afterwards and finishing the job. I think we all knew, and I knew, that this was going to happen. I congratulate Tank Davis for doing what he did. However, I'm not impressed with any of that yet.
I hope that they can get a new date for Garcia and Campbell, because I think that's a real test for Ryan. We'll see where he's at.
I believe so, too.
We talk about an Olympic gold medalist in Luke Campbell. That's real. That's a real fight, man.
And not only that, he's a skillful fighter.
Absolutely.
He knows what he's doing when he's in there. I've sparred with him. I sparred with him when I was 17, and I sparred with him when I was 18, back in Miami when he used to train over there. What I could say from that is he's a very skillful fighter that knows what he's doing, and he still has that hunger and that grit in him to keep going. And I think even then, now, I feel like he has that motivation to do something to Ryan and have that edge on him. That's why I'm looking forward to it. And I think a lot of people are just overlooking because of who Ryan Garcia is on the social media platform. But in skill sets, it's a wide margin of who has the better skills here.
So there's Teofimo Lopez, happy as can be. Let's speak to the man that made that Lomachenko fight. And of course, the maker of quite a lot of decent fights. Hopefully, one that we're going to get to see in the not-too-distant future is Fury versus AJ. But there's a little bit of a legal matter to deal with at the moment with a certain Mr. Deontay Wilder. We put all those questions to Bob Arum.
A lot will depend on how Joshua does with Pulev. If, as I believe, Pulev beats Joshua, Tyson Fury can forget about fighting Joshua now. And Pulev, if he beats Joshua, has a rematch obligation with Joshua. At that point, obviously the best opponent for Fury in my opinion, would be Wilder. If Joshua wins, then Fury is successful December 5, they're going to go at it. And I'm confident in Fury's legal position, which enables them to do that.
So what length of time are we looking at? Because I know that obviously Team Wilder are obviously seeking legal advice right now. Length of time are we waiting before we can come to some conclusion on that situation?
Well, let's see what happens December 5 and December 12. I mean, you know, it's all well and good to talk about a Fury-Joshua fight, but each of the guys are going to have to win their December fight. And I'm telling you, I don't believe Joshua is going to beat Pulev. Well, really don't.
You can tell me on December the 12th, Bob, when Pulev beats Joshua, because I think Joshua will knock him out in five or six rounds. You can tell me I don't know shiz about boxing then into my ears.
I'll tell you that. I remember Joshua with Andy Ruiz.
But yeah, fair enough. But I think he learnt from it. I think he learnt from it. And I think, you know, he knows.
Did the chin learn from it?
No, listen, and we know you can't graft muscle onto chin as well, you know. But right. The thing is, I think he's learned that he's got to be not. He can't be reckless and throw with the other guy. And that's if he throws with the key to beating Joshua is to throw with him, isn't it? But that's what people have learned. Yeah. And if Pulev gets inside and he throws with him, he's a wizened and dangerous fighter. He's only lost to Vladimir Klitschko. He's had a long and decorated career. This is a chance to create a legacy for himself and generations of his family. And he's a great guy. I've been to Berlin to his training camps and spent time alone with him. He's a fantastic character. His father used to smuggle... Do you know this story? His father was a policeman, and he used to smuggle Western books into a library behind a wall in their house during the Soviet era, when behind the Iron Curtain they weren't allowed to read Western books, and he used to trade Western books that were banned. He's got an incredible background, Kubrat Pulev. Yeah. He's a very interesting man and a very intelligent boxer, as you know.
Yes, that's true. That is true. So let's see what happens. Let's not count our chickens before they're hatched, like they say.
Mm. Yeah.
Bob, what have you made of everything that has come out recently from Deontay Wilder and what he's been saying about the Tyson Fury fights?
You have to understand, Deontay Wilder lives in the United States. Everybody's been watching television news. Deontay Wilder has learned from Donald Trump that you lie and you say whatever you want to say, and you get attention.
I was saying this to Adam just before the break, Bob, when we came on. I had heard, and I don't know whether this is true or not, that there's no legal case in America that can prevent Tyson Fury from boxing through the Wilder appeal, is there?
No, I agree with you.
So there isn't. They can't. You can't stop Fury boxing. That he, because the contractual.
You can break his legs.
Look. You surely though you want to see. Well, because the world wants to see Fury.
I don't want to see.
You want to see. You want to see Pulev against Fury, then, yeah? You want to see. You want to see.
Yeah, but Pulev has. If Pulev beats him, which I believe he will. He has to give him a rematch.
Eddie
diabolically puts it in this contract.
Bob, onto the fight tonight between Terence and Kell Brook, a fight that we're all looking forward to here in the UK, especially having watched the guys this week give interviews and seen them on the scales yesterday. They both look in incredible shape. We're hoping for a fantastic fight, and the co-feature with it tonight, the Maloney fight, is a belter as well. So congratulations on getting that all on for us tonight. Moving forward with Terence after this evening, if he comes through it, I know that you were close to making the Manny Pacquiao fight for him. Is that the next step, do you think?
Well, you know, again, we're dealing... It's not the fighters here, but in order to get a Pacquiao-Crawford fight off the ground, assuming Crawford beats Brook. And I don't know if that, you know, it's a, the Brook fight, for, you know, again, I hate to talk about down the line, but I will talk about it. But, you know, Brook is the toughest opponent that Crawford has fought in his entire
boxing career.
The toughest opponent. And, you know, I've talked with Brook. I've seen him. He's in unbelievable shape, and he exudes confidence. Whether that's enough to beat Crawford, we'll have to see. But, again, if your guy pulls off the upset, it would not be a shocker to me. Would not be a shocker. I give him a hell of a shot. I mean, Brook is a really good welterweight. And, you know, Terrence is he started at lightweight. Brook never started at lightweight. He was always a welterweight and then fought above when he fought Golovkin. And now that the orbital bones in the eyes have been reinforced, I mean, he's going to be a really tough dude for Terrence to match with. But assuming that Terrence is successful, the fight I want to make is Manny Pacquiao, and I had it made and I had it paid for in the Mideast. But then, of course, they were spooked out, as everybody is, with the coronavirus and being able to get spectators. So again, if Terrence is successful, and by the way, everybody on your side of the pond can watch the fight in the morning on Premier Television.
Premier Sports One, Bob. Yeah.
Premier Sports One. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and the price is a lot lower than the usual pay-per-view offerings in the UK, you know, £10.
I think it's a fascinating fight, Bob. I mean, having covered Kel's entire career and having spoken to him myself this week, and Adam and I have been saying all night, we are so missing being in Las Vegas because this is a big, big fight. And the two guys produced some fireworks at the weigh-in. I've never seen Terrence with the eye of the tiger like this and being so vehement and vocal against opponents, apart from the time that Benavidez tried to slap him, where he nearly knocked him out with a left hook on the rostrum that day. But the thing is, we are really going to find out. 4 or 5 years ago, Kell was the number one welterweight in the world. There's no doubt about it. We're going to find out tonight how much Kell has got left in the tank. Honestly, I've known him a long time. I've never heard him so confident, and I've never seen him in such great shape. Adam attests to that as well. He'll be a lot bigger than Terrence on the night or tonight. Yeah. And we think he's going to try and put it on him early. We really do think he's going to try and give Terrence a very hard time early on.
Terrence, if he does that, that's a good strategy because Terrence is a very slow starter.
Correct. And that's why. And that's the game plan. I mean, we're giving it away, but that is what they're going to do. Yeah. But that he's got to do that. He's got to jump on him. He's got to jump on him. Because no one has been able to make Terrence look uncomfortable so far. He gets in a rhythm, correct, he switch hits, and then he gets spiteful. And you can't let him get in that rhythm. Simple as.
Right.
Bob, we heard from Teofimo Lopez a little earlier on. He was in great spirits, obviously, speaking about his plans for next year. Loads of different options, and I'm sure you're speaking to him closely in order to try and make those options come into fruition. Have you managed to speak to your other fighter, Vasily Lomachenko, since the fight? And what are his plans? What does he want to do in the next 12 months?
Well, he had an operation right after the fight on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. He had the same doctor, Dr. Alatras, the leading orthopedic surgeon in the United States, did it again. You know, I did the shoulder before and now I had to do some additional work. So he is not allowed, Lomachenko, to really use that shoulder until January. And then in January, he can start slow training. And so he will not come back until probably May or June. Uh, we'll see whether he wants to go down to 130 and Frank, maybe Tank Davis or Shakur or the winner of Frampton Herring. He has a lot of options. Or whether he wants to stay at 135 and have us arrange a rematch with Lopez.
What would you like him to do? What would you like him to do, Bob?
Yes, I'm old enough and wise enough to know that what I want is secondary to what the guys who do the fighting want.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to keep what I want to myself because it generally or very often can be irrelevant.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now, you will have seen quite a lot in the news about Canelo. He's broke away from his promoter, he's broke away from his TV company, he's on with making his own fights. Reports coming out of Mexico this week that Callum Smith is next in line. December the 19th is the day. Is it on? Is it off? Well, we spoke to Callum Smith's trainer, Joe Gallagher, on the show at the weekend, and this is what he had to say.
It's like election fever over there with all the fake news, isn't it, mate? I mean, it's absolute loads of it. I was sat here tonight, and I've had two or three American journalists going, I've just heard that it's signed and it's done. So text Callum, he goes, no. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, right, all right then. Do you know what I mean? It's just... It's unbelievable. You know, and I know that the games and the tricks that get over, whether Canelo's camp, Reynoso, puts stuff out to pressure a fight and taking it in case somebody else might want to get it, in case they're missing out, like Calla Plant, or they're saying Calla Plant's got it to make Callum Smith take it. So there's all things and everything else. But like you say, if you hang on 2 seconds, I'll just scroll Twitter and I'll mostly find out on there before anyone else. Mate. Do you know what I mean? So that's where at the moment it isn't. There's negotiations going on. And the scary thing is, Adam and Gareth, it's 5 weeks tonight.
Yeah.
5 weeks. Mm. And we'd have to go to America a week, 10 days before it. So you're talking 3.5 weeks training.
Yeah, but you've been training for 8 months anyway, haven't you? Come on.
No, no, we're training. But you know and I know, Ricky Hatton's always talked about it. You're training for Costa to Zoo. You're in the gym ticking over and you might. There's two different things.
Yeah.
We're in a pandemic. So me as a coaching point of view, I'm in a pandemic. I've all of a sudden got to go and get sparring partners to replicate Canelo. One or two in the UK. But I want to bring fighters in from America. I want to bring fighters in from that. And I just think to myself, well, why not don't we just do it in January? In case if what's this big rush for a December fight, why not just do it in January and give Callum the 8-9 weeks preparation? Like, you're getting it. You know, they know, a bit like Mayweather, they're fighting and the most will be going, well, it's Plant or Callum. And I'm sure there's somebody else in the background ready to step in if it is. Well, it's like, I can't complain because people say, oh, Gallagher moaning again. But it's just like, well, 5 weeks notice. I know we're training, but you know and I know it'd be great to train for 8-9 weeks proper with it. We're in a pandemic and getting sparring partners up and staying over and we're in lockdown. We're doing things with one hand tied behind our back. And not many people look at that. They just go, oh, you got a chance of Canelo there and you're moaning about it. No. But I want the best Callum Smith to fight the best Canelo because the best Callum Smith beats the best Canelo.
What if the opportunity isn't there, though, next year? What if this is the only time that it could be taken?
Well, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Listen, I don't know what's going on there now, but I'm sure Callum wants to fight. He's in the gym, he's training, and it is what it is. We're in them times, isn't it? Mm. It's unfortunate, like I said to you, it's a shame that we can't go, all right, we'll agree it now, but let's do it January the 30th, January the 23rd. You know what I mean? What's the big rush 5 weeks out? And it's all right. I'm not saying we're in the same boat, but Tyson Fury is due to fight on, I think it's December the 9th, December the 12th, whatever. And he's not announced yet. So there's plenty of fighters out there in the same boat. So can't complain. But like you say, if we were in the old world, we all would have been announced and all had our 8-10 weeks and our press conferences. So like you say, you've got to do the best that you can do with it. But
do you think you'll get it? Deep down, Joe, do you think you'll get it? Do you think you'll get the Canelo fight before Christmas?
Well, do you know what? It's been there that many times, that red herring, that bait, that carrot. We feel like, it's a wrong term to say, but we feel like donkeys trying to bite the carrot where it's just being held in front of you, that we thought we've nearly got it, and then Billy Joe got it. We've nearly got it, and someone else has got it. So it's like, do you know what? If we get it, brilliant. You know what I mean? But we've been there so many times. But like you say, whether we get it, like I said, we don't know. Negotiations are going on, so whatever. I'm sure Eddie Reynoso and Canelo know who it is, and they've just got to give them the shortest time possible to prepare for it.
So there you have it. Don't hold your breath, but if opportunity knocks, hopefully they'll open the door and we can get that fight on before Christmas. Now, every single week, we are going to try and preview an upcoming prospect. 8-0, undefeated professional Harvey Horn is the guy that we're going to be speaking about this week. And Gareth caught up with him on the show at the weekend.
You're a Southpaw flyweight, one of the trickiest guys to fight, I believe, because flyweights are so fast, they're so technical, and you are yourself, you know, you're rising towards elite, that's where you want to go. But, you know, you're only 25 years of age, you've got a fantastic physique, you're very handsome, but what I want to know is this. You were smart at school, right? And you've got relatives, right, who went into, or certainly your father and your uncles, they became stockbrokers. Why on earth did you decide to get punched in the face for a living rather than earn millions of bucks in the city?
Do you know what? When I'm waking up in England at 6 a.m, going for 5-mile runs, I ask myself the same question every day, trust me. But I'll tell you what, the broking would have been lovely. It's always something I wanted to do, but my dad said, you've always got to follow your dreams first. And the broking's always going to be there. It'll always be there. And that was a little bit of a dream job if I wasn't a sportsman. But I'd be a fool not to continue down the boxing route. Well, not to have continued down the boxing route, showing the talent and the progression I was showing. So I think you've got to chase your dream first. I mean, that will always be there. I'm not always going to be young enough to box. So
yeah, because I think. Interestingly, in the history of you, 10 years ago, I mean, and I'm not just saying about the stockbroking, because I know you were very bright at school, because, you know, I'd read that your GCSEs were really good. But at the same time, when you were 15, you also won the English schoolboys, didn't you? So it was kind of, that was a moment where the horny life diverged, didn't it?
No, 100%. I think, do you know what? They sort of clashed at the same time. I got good results in GCSEs. Very good results. I think I got come out of 1A star, 4 A's and around 7 B's, something along them lines. I actually got an A in French, funnily enough.
But, plus ça change, ça c'est bien. Yeah.
Oh, don't start with all that. I haven't done it in years.
C'est vachement bien, Mr. Orny.
Oh, God. But yeah, so but I always enjoyed school. I enjoy being in school. I was never one of them that was really naughty in school because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed learning. And I think maybe everything sort of come at a crossroads for me. So I've done really well in the GCSEs, but I was also winning national titles. So it was always a case of what one do I choose, because A-levels were too hard to pursue while full-time training, which is when I found the Frank Bruno Academy, which luckily allowed me to sort of do both. I didn't get the A-levels I wanted. I got A-level equivalents, not what I wanted, but it was a gamble. It was a gamble. And I believe it's going to pay off. I believe, honestly, 100% of me believes it will pay off eventually.
Well, you know, I mean, I've got to, for the listeners, I mean, you had a very, very good amateur career and pedigree, because obviously you won gold at the European under 22s. You a silver medal at the European Championships in 2015. You competed at the European Games that year and the World Championships. It's not like, you know, you've done your pedigree, you've done your time, and you know, you're 8-0 as a pro. Tell us about where you're up next, and people be able to watch you. And also, you know, who do you see? I mean, not necessarily modelling yourself on, but whose career path do you think you might kind of emulate in some ways? And, you know, obviously, like you say, you're only 8-0. You know, you're probably halfway towards challenging for serious titles that would basically pay mortgages on houses that you get in a morning stockbroking. You lose. But tell us a little bit about your professional career path.
Do you know what? It's a really tough question, because, like I said, the main goals are world titles. I don't really want anything less than that. I think if you aim for anything less than that, I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be doing it, because unless I was aiming to be the best, I wouldn't do it. So I think I also want to earn enough money to secure my life after boxing. And also, I think maybe, in answer to your question, I can't really tell you someone that I would like to emulate, but there's definitely a lot of fighters out there that I would take chunks out of, just like my style, that I would take chunks out of, take little pieces and put them together and sort of form my own life and my own route, if that makes sense.
Well, there's, you know, look, obviously around in the UK, certainly, who are ranked in the world's sanctioning bodies, you've got the likes of Andrew Selby and Sonny Edwards. I mean, you're 15, I think, with the WBO at the moment, aren't you? And obviously the title, I think you are the European WBO flyweight champion anyway, aren't you? So you've started that ladder climb, haven't you? I mean, is there anyone you've got your eyes on who you can pitch yourself against in the next 2, 3, 4 fights?
Definitely. I think, like you just mentioned, Sonny Edwards there. There's a lot of, especially in England, a lot of interest around that sort of, and around that fight. There's definitely a bit of animosity there. Makes the fight that much more intriguing, I think. And everyone always asks me when I'm going to fight him. You've also got another couple of names bouncing around. Joe Mafosa.
Yes.
Another boy, another Newcastle boy. He's 9-0 at the minute, I think. Another great fighter I was on the Olympic team with. So I think it's there's a lot of good domestic fights out there for me, and I don't want to skip that. This is the main thing that people always ask me. Oh, I'm 15 in the world with the WBO. Do you want to just go round the back door and sort of build the way up the rankings and challenge for a world title? I don't really want to do that. I would like the British title. I promised my mum and dad that they can put it in the living room once I've won it outright. So I would like to go the traditional route. It just so happened that the WBO flyweight title come around at a certain point in my career. My team thought it was right. My trainer thought it was right. So we took it. But the traditional route for me has always been a lot more appealing.
Just tell me, obviously you're out in Fuerteventura. I know that Billy Joe Saunders has been out there. Josh Taylor's been out there. Dillian White, twice your weight, has been out there. Have you seen them all or not?
I've seen Billy Joe. I'm on Billy Joe Saunders' camp at the minute. It's been great. I mean, they're all great characters. They're great characters. And you know what? It gives us something to look up to. It gives us something to look up to. I look at him and that's what I want to do. I want to be a world champion. I want to be grafting like he is. I see him being stopped in the streets of Fuerteventura, bearing in mind, a Canary Island in Spain, being stopped and asking for him to sign things. And that's what I want. I want to be recognised. I want to be respected for being at the top of my sport. And it, to look at that and see that just makes me graft that much harder. And the boys that I'm out here with are exactly the same. We've had conversations about it. We all want to be that bloke. And it's great to have him in.
There you go. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And if you did, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because this is where we plonk it all for you so you can listen to it at your own leisure throughout the course of the week. Because we appreciate you're busy. You might not be able to join us every single Saturday, but we don't want you to miss out on the content. So hit subscribe on iTunes. Fight Night is what you're looking for. And you can get an Android feed via our website, talksport.com. We'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.